This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone, to yet another episode of Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z. I'm Matt Fonzel, and only a Sith deals in absolutes. That and more after a word from our sponsors, Napa Auto Tech Training and Pico Technology. Check out our Napa Auto Tech Facebook page to find out the latest Napa Auto Tech virtual class scheduled at a time that is convenient for you. Learn from the comfort of your home. Tired of guesswork in your auto diagnostics? Need to pinpoint faults quickly and accurately? PicoScope will turn your PC into a powerful diagnostic tool. See live waveforms from sensors, injectors, and ignition systems. See the problem? Solve it faster. Visit PicoAuto.com. That's PicoAuto.com. I see a lot of confusion online, and I guess in classes, and in the shop, and in conversation with techs. There's a big misconception, or really just confusion. Confusion between, before I jump to just the difference or between, we're talking about pressure. Maybe I should have quoted David Bowie and Queen, but too late for that. When we're talking about pressure in America specifically, we typically deal in two different scales, and that's not necessarily where the confusion lies. It gets into definitions and I guess scales to a degree. The reality is in America, we typically talk about PSI and inches of mercury. We use PSI for anything above atmospheric pressure, and we use inches of mercury typically for anything below atmospheric. And therein lies the beginning of the confusion. We have to remember, and I think if we ask somebody outright, especially if they fix cars for a living, what kind of pressure is all around you? What is the atmospheric pressure? They would answer, and maybe fairly accurate to the more extremes, at least altitudes. So at sea level, they'll probably tell you it's close to 14.7 to 1. That has to get cut back to what I'm going to say about the pressure. I can't say 14.7 to 1. That's a ratio. It makes sense if I would explain it, but it's not what I'm not. At sea level, they would say 14.7 PSI, roughly. That's not typically how we talk about it or how we see it on a scan tool. And definitely not how we see it on our vacuum gauges. And for those of you who haven't been in this industry all that long, for maybe the last 10 years or more, a vacuum gauge is a gauge that looks a lot like a fuel pressure gauge or a compression gauge that used to screw in or plug in with a hose, if you will, into the intake manifolds. There'd be ports everywhere, and we could watch manifold pressure, and we would read that in inches of mercury. At just atmospheric, not hooked up to anything, it would read zero. Well, that's zero gauge pressure. It's not, I don't want to say it's not accurate, but you could make an argument it's not all that accurate. But it's reading zero, you know, just with atmospheric pressure. And then you hook it up to manifold vacuum and engine's running. It's pulling it into a vacuum. Well, vacuum is just any pressure below atmospheric. So we kind of get in these weird scales, right? Zero and above, PSI, zero and below, inches of mercury. But the reality is those scales go both ways. They go below zero. You know, we would be negative PSI and we could be positive inches of mercury. And if you look at it, boosted engines or something, you know, aspirated, you could often see inches of mercury go above zero and read what we would consider what would normally be in a vacuum, maybe a positive inches of mercury. For some, that was very confusing. Then we get into absolutes. Mainly that was introduced with manifold absolute pressure sensors. And that involves the sensor itself being built with, I guess we'll call it just a chamber of, well, they like to tell us zero pressure, absolute. I'm sorry. This probably has such little place in an automotive podcast, but technically that's not true. technically you can't have absolute zero pressure. Or if you do, over time, you could birth a universe. And I know that's out there. It's just in the world of quantum mechanics or quantum field theory, it's a dangerous subject. It's a can of worms. I'm sorry, but it's kind of cool too. Let's talk about Schrodinger just for just a second. And most of us have heard about the Schrodinger's cat, right? The cat in the box, and there's some sort of a device in there that could kill the cat. And, you know, it had a certain chance of, you know, being set off and killing the cat, or it might not set off and the cat would be alive. And the cat, before you open the box, is in a state of a superposition where there's both alive and dead at the same time until you open the box to observe what happened. The reality is that concept was brought up as a kind of a skewer. I don't want to call it a joke, but it was really to kind of like call out some of the absurdities in quantum mechanics or quantum field theory, but really quantum mechanics. And that's not to just sound like pompous and stuff. This is the cool stuff. One thing though, in that world, was somebody came up with a principle, Heisenberg. And no, not the same guy from Breaking Bad, the real Heisenberg, which, you know, he based the name off of, but he had a principle of the more you knew about the position of a particle, the less you knew about its speed. And the more you knew about its speed, the less you knew about its position. So now let's think about that. If we go into absolute zero pressure, just following thermodynamics with the ideal gas law, that would imply or suggest or dictate or demand absolute zero temperature, which would mean no particle movement, which would mean now we know that they're not moving, so we know their speed. Because we now know their speed, we don't know where they are. At absolute temperature, no movement. We now know their speed. We don't know where they are, which means they could be everywhere at once, right? See how this falls apart? I know. What the heck's that got to do with fixing cars? But it's kind of cool, right? And it also turns out that near perfect vacuums, bubbles of energy form. Those bubbles are powerful enough or have so much energy in them, they create universes. So there is a very strong argument that the universe we're in right now was created from a bubble of energy from a near absolute zero pressure area. All right, that should make your week. Back to our world. The reference is to very, very high vacuum, low pressure. And then you start getting these readings that are almost in the way opposite of what we're used to. And again, that's where we start getting a lot of confusion is if I'm looking at my scan tool and I'm seeing that the engine is idling at 10 inches of vacuum, what is that really telling me? Because a lot of us, if we knew the engine vacuum on a lot of cars, we were expecting closer to 20 inches of vacuum or 18, depending on the car. Well, this is reading 10. So is that bad? But if it's 10 inches of mercury absolute, well, now we're starting from 30, because 30 inches of vacuum, or I shouldn't say that, 30 inches would be the absolute pressure of the atmosphere, right? That would be zero. That'd be close to 15 PSI. So I don't know. Sounds like I'm jumping around a little bit. Maybe I really am. But the reality is that the ratio between inches of mercury to PSI is 2 to 1. So 2 inches of mercury is equal to 1 PSI. Hence, if you have 30 inches of mercury pressure, you have about 15 PSI, which was, guess what? Close to sea level, 14.7 to 1. We can start to see where this starts to get rough, right? And part of it, I think, is my explanations have been up and down and went into physics world. But the reality is that in America, I think specifically, we talk about pressure above and below zero. Zero being atmospheric. So we talk about pressure above and below atmospheric, and we have different terms, PSI, and then vacuum, PSI pressure, you know, pounds per square inch, and then vacuum. And maybe not intuitively, we know by definition what that is, but now seeing it on the car or seeing it as numbers on a scan tool or on a gauge, it kind of gets forgotten about. And the reality is when we're talking about vacuum, we might be better off thinking about everything as a pressure scale from zero being near, at least for the sake of discussion, zero PSI. I don't want to say absolute pressure. It almost goes against my grain. But for the sake of discussion, we could say zero pressure. And then using that scale, 15 would be what's around us right now, specifically around sea level. And then, you know, if you're living in high altitude areas, that's going to be different. And then anything above that would be, you know, however much. If it's got 10 PSI a boost, that's 10 PSI over 15. So now it's got 25 PSI in the intake, but that's absolute. And I just find that watching conversations take place, there is a big misnomer or misunderstanding, or just maybe also just not thinking about it, forgetting that you do have to understand when somebody's talking about pressure, is are they talking about gauge pressure or are they talking about absolute pressure? And then making the adjustments.
Napa Auto Tech training sessions are being conducted day and night in a town near you. This training caters to every level within your organization, be it a mechanical assistant, a mechanical specialist, a technology specialist, or a driver safety calibration specialist. Imagine a one-stop shop training partner in Napa Auto Tech that will lead your team to a path to greatness. Auto Tech's entry-level Build-A-Tech classes convert the untapped potential of your new hires into money-making mechanical specialists. Auto Tech's higher-level tech update classes introduce specialists to the world of ever-changing technologies, which prevents your shop from getting technologically stagnant. Remember, if you're not moving forward, you're falling behind. And, turning to the front of the store, the Auto Tech Service Advisor class is an awesome way to hone your client advocate skill set, ultimately benefiting the customer through an improved vehicle repair experience. But it doesn't stop there. Imagine an electric vehicle class that takes your specialist well past the mundane, yet necessary, safety topics. Well, it's here. Auto Tech's EV Ready Training is a week-long curriculum that takes participants through a hands-on experience involving hybrids and electric vehicles. The session kicks off with the use of PPE and proper tooling while touching on required OSHA regulations. Then, the students dive into the lab vehicles to gain knowledge of the common high-voltage components on EV and hybrid vehicles and their function. Attendees will be taken on a path exposing them to different electric vehicle manufacturers to compare component form and location. Additionally, information about Level 1 and Level 2 charging systems will be included, along with a quick look at DC to DC charging. The operation and maintenance of subsystems are explored, including the different modes of Tesla operations, and so much more. So what are you waiting for? Commit to taking your business to the next level with Napa Auto Tech Training. Is your shop ready for the electric vehicle revolution? Don't get left behind. The Picoscope EV Kit is your all-in-one solution. Diagnose any electric or hybrid vehicle, from high-voltage batteries to complex communication systems. With guided tests and pinpoint accuracy, you'll tackle more jobs and boost your bottom line. This isn't just a tool. It's your future. Be the expert in EV repair. Visit PicoAuto.com to future-proof your shop today. That's PicoAuto.com.
One thing with, and it's like very American with the scales of inches of mercury and PSI, if we do shift over to the metric system, many times that's eliminated, right? We don't really read stuff in the scan tool, plus or minus or positive or negative kilopascals. It's usually just the number. And in a way, that is a good way to think about it. I would urge people to learn the kilopascals, yeah, just to make your life easier looking at the scan tool, but also just the way of thinking about pressure. Zero kilopascals is not atmospheric. It's more like 100. 100 kilopascals is pretty close to atmospheric. Zero being ultra low. And then we see cars idling in what, the mid 30s, somewhere in there, depending on the car and where we're at, all that jazz. And then boosted, it goes above that. It's rough to go from American scales to metric. I get it. And it's not this big campaign to get us all to switch to the metric system. Is, you know, logical or illogical as that may be, different debate for a different episode, or, you know, just a different debate. But the idea behind it, I think, is important. Thinking about pressure in that manner, that is important to start trying to think of things in all one scale even, and then being able to make the shift or being able to speak specifically in absolute pressure or gauge pressure and being able to, I guess, just speak in those terms or identify that right away. And sometimes we see designations like that with PSIG, pounds per square inch, gauge, and PSIA sometimes. And then on our scan tools, usually it will not tell us if it's absolute. Even if it says map, sometimes it reports to us in gauge. It's frustrating. So what might be a really good way for us to differentiate between the two, right? If we needed to know on our scan tool, how is that reporting to us? What might be a quick way to do that, right? Key on, engine off, right? The engine is not running. How is it reporting atmospheric pressure to us? And that is a good quick way to determine, is this PID giving us information in gauge or absolute? And now I can look at that PID and make decisions if I need to. I guess to just recap, I can't speak for other countries. And I can't say that in conversations I see on professional forums, networks, and social media groups, pages, that I necessarily go look to see who lives where when I see misconceptions. I do know it's heavy towards the United States, and it's not some big bash. It's just, that's how we split up our scales. It's how we've decided to report things and discuss things and, again, display it, if you will. So gauge pressure, the key with gauge pressure, I think to remember, is atmospheric pressure is shown as zero. That's the big giveaway. Absolute pressure references a cell of some sort of very, very low pressure, very, very near perfect vacuum. And that compares that to the pressure it's reading. So therefore, atmospheric at sea level-ish will be displayed around 15 PSI, 14.7, 14.6. It's important to be able to think in those terms and to remember that and remember the scales. Remember that 2 inches of mercury equals 1 PSI, so that you can make that shift in your brain. And just, you know, it's a simple ratio, but something to keep in mind. And then, especially when working with absolute pressure that's reported to us in inches of mercury, that we can make this switch in our minds to see what, you know, in PSI might be more intuitive. And then also remember kilopascals. Generally, when we see something on our scan tools given to us in kilopascals, that is showing us an absolute, right? Key on, engine off, we're going to see pressure, kilopascals, scale 100, 101, something like that, near sea level. And then in vacuum, it's going to go below that, you know, so engine idling in the mid-30s, something like that. I think that's just important to keep in mind. And hopefully that helps when starting to discuss pressures and stop thinking about vacuum as being negative. Even if it's displayed to you in negative, try to think of vacuum as still pressure, low pressure, below atmospheric pressure. It doesn't matter how much, as long as it's below atmospheric pressure, it's considered vacuum. But try not to think of it as vacuum. Just try to think of it as low pressure. I think that'll help. And I hope, even with my jumping around a little bit, that listening to this, maybe listening to it a couple of times, and the recap is enough to help you better understand what those scan tool PIDs are telling you. You know, I'm not talking about strict, you know, if you see this pressure, then it means car needs this or that, but really to be able to use that as a tool to understand what the manifold pressure is typically. Of course, this translates over into fuel tank pressure and so many things. That's the big stuff, right? Engine vacuum, manifold vacuum. And with that, I think I will leave you. If you have any questions or criticisms about this episode, please don't hesitate to reach out. You can email me at mattfonzelpodcast@gmail.com. If you have topic ideas or questions for me to answer, please, again, fire away. You can also find me on social media. Send me a message through Messenger. I'd just really like to thank Napa Auto Tech Training and Pico Technology for sponsoring. Thanks to the Aftermarket Radio Network for just making this all possible. And yeah, next time you're thinking about absolute zero pressure, just remember universes came from that. Or you could just bring it up on a date or in a group, maybe impress some people. I don't know. Probably not. I've tried it. It doesn't work. So. Anyways, thanks again for listening. I do really appreciate it. And if you're listening to this or watching it on YouTube, you know, it really does help if you hit the like button. It helps the channel, it helps all the channels. So really any YouTube channel that you like, enjoy, stuff like that, hit the like button. And yeah, if you like it enough, please subscribe. And until next time, take care.
You've been listening to Matt Fonslow, diagnosing the aftermarket A to Z on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Matt on your favorite listening app. He's very interested in what you have to say. Let him know what you'd like him to cover and come on the show. Matt is all for advancing the aftermarket. Find Matt Fonslow on social media and connect or on aftermarketradionetwork.com.